I'm used to. Good morning, everyone. Come on in. We're so glad you're here from braving the cold. Thank you very much. We want to welcome all the worshipers to Harbor, here in person and online. And we again welcome Dan Winkowicz and thank him for answering our call to serve in Pastor Tim's absence as he and Sharon attend his mother's funeral. Frieda Voth often worshiped with us here at Harbor via Zoom, and it seems like she was part of this congregation. So we celebrate her life with the Voth family and pray God's comfort over them. So Dan will deliver the message toward the beginning of the service today, so he can scoot to his next service in Estherville. So I'm Cheryl Hesenius, and I want you to repeat after me. And together, let's proclaim, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
This is the day the Lord has made.
We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Bobby.
I can't got anything on here.
Our call to worship. It's from Jeremiah 17. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Take it away, priest.
That everything that has been.
Let's stand and worship.
That has been. Not everything. We did put that back.
Everything that's
go ahead and be seated.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And some of you are looking at the screen and thinking, which one am I, obstinate or pliable? For the couples who are here, probably one of you is one and the other is the other. This morning, I'm going to start out and we're going to read the scripture together from Genesis chapter 19, verses 12 through 22. And after that, we'll have prayer and then we'll get into our message. Genesis chapter 19, verses 12 through 22. Then the two men said to Lot, "Whom else have you here? A son-in-law and your sons and your daughters and everyone you have in the city, bring them out of the place. For we are about to destroy this place because their outcry has become great before the Lord. So the Lord has sent us to destroy it." And Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who were to marry his daughters and said, "Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city." But he appeared to his sons-in-law to be jesting. Now at the break of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Get up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city." But he hesitated. So the men seized his hand and the hand of his wife and the hands of his two daughters, for the compassion of the Lord was upon him. And they brought him out and put him outside the city. Now it happened as they brought them outside, one said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you and do not stay anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains lest you be swept away." But Lot said to them, "Oh no, my lords, now behold, your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have magnified your loving kindness, which you have shown me by preserving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest calamity overtake me and I die. Now behold, this town is near enough to flee to, and it is small. Please let me escape there. Is it not small? That my life may be preserved." And he said to them, "Behold, I grant you this request also, that I will not overthrow the city of which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there." Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning for your word and for the story of one man who was told to run for his life, escape. And Lord, help us to run. Help us to go. Help us to escape. Lord, we look around the world that we live in and it's nuts. And we only can look to you and say, okay, in you we trust. So Lord, help me today to trust in you. Help those who are here today to trust in you. And Lord, may your word be honored and glorified. And I thank you that I can help out. I pray for Tim. No one gets to practice for saying goodbye to mom.
No.
And I just ask that you'll minister to his heart and to the rest of the family as well. We thank you for him and his ministry and ask that you bring him home safely. So Father, this time is yours. Help me to do things in accordance to your will. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a joy to be here with you again, although unplanned. And I am so happy to be able to help out Tim in this way. Today we're going to be talking about a pilgrim. But I start with a poem by A.A. Milne. Now, some of you would have to be really sharp to know who that is, but that is the author of what book? Winnie the Pooh. Very good. And I can tell you the story about Winnie the Pooh, the bear in the zoo that actually was taken by Polish troops from Tehran to London to England and became a beloved story for us all. Listen to this. It's called Halfway Down. Halfway down the stairs is a stair where I sit.
Get it on YouTube.
There isn't any other stair quite like it. I'm not at the bottom. I'm not at the top. So this is the stair where I always stop. Halfway up the stairs isn't up. and it isn't down. It isn't in the nursery and it isn't in town. And all sorts of funny thoughts run round my head. It isn't really anywhere. It's somewhere else instead. Well, my friends, we're all on the stairs.
Did that.
We're either going up or we're going down. We're all pilgrims on a path because we're followers of Christ, and he calls us pilgrims. Not like John Wayne, who, those of you who know John Wayne, born in Pilgrim. No, we're pilgrims. We're on a path, and we're walking in accordance to what Christ tells us, and we're either going right or we're going wrong. We're either going up or we're going down. Where are you going? Because believe it or not, you're going, whether you like it or not. This morning I want to introduce you to someone who some of you may have met before. He was born in 1628, north of London, and his name is John Bunyan. John Bunyan was trained as a young man as a worker of brass. He educated himself after he learned to read and write by reading Puritan literature, and I'm not going to explain that whole thing. He later became a soldier in the British Civil Wars in England, where he fought against the king and lost. That's usually not a good thing. And in 1658, when he's 30 years old, he comes to Christ. When he, as he said, when I came to realize that religiosity without spirituality was lost and worthless. In 1660, he was imprisoned 2 years later for preaching without a license. I don't know if I have a, do I have a license? I don't know. Karen's son could come in here this morning and arrest me. He was not a part of the Church of England. He just preached what the Bible said, and so he spent the next 12 years in prison. Now, think of what prisons might have been like then. And he wrote three books. Of the three, you might know one of them a little bit. The first one was called Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners. That was actually his testimony, and I thought, well, it'd be a good, nice testimony, nice name for my book. He also wrote a book called Christiana, but the one that we're going to talk about and the one that many know is Pilgrim's Progress. Now, I'm going to ask you, how many of you have written, have read Pilgrim's Progress, all right, or heard of it? Okay, well, several of you have heard of it. Now, I'm going to introduce you more, and I'll encourage you to get a copy and read it. It'll take you about one day if you stay home and pretend you're sick. Pilgrim's Progress was a great book. John Bunyan died in 1688 after getting drenched in a rainstorm. On a preaching trip, got pneumonia and died. And I like to think the Lord said, John, your path is finished. Come home to the celestial city. Well, what about the book? The book has impacted people. Some that you would know, John Wesley, the founder of the whole Methodist movement, J.I. Packard, Charles Spurgeon, who's called the Prince of Preachers and probably the best ever. It's impacted me, and now it's going to impact you. You're either going to go up or you're going to go down, but it's going to impact you. It has actually been published 1,300 times after the Bible. It's probably the first novel ever written in an English that we could understand. After the Bible, it's the most published language or most published book in the English language, 200 foreign languages. It's read by princes and paupers. It's read by preachers and priests. And if you want to have something in common with the Queen of England, may she rest in peace. You can read Pilgrim's Progress. It was a favorite. In this book, as it has impacted so many people, I got so far ahead of myself, I changed pages before I got done thinking. You might ask the question, well, what's it about? Well, he writes it as an allegory. He says, he starts off as if he had a dream. And he said, I had a dream. And then he tells this story of a man on a journey, and it's a journey of his Christian life. And he weaves into the story in chapter 1, And 62 verses that you'll read as you're reading chapter 1, 353 in the entire book, and it explains the author's own road to salvation and then to the celestial city. He said he wrote it to keep his mind busy during the 12 years he sat in prison because he refused to sign an agreement to not preach without a license. Pilgrim's Progress. Now we are all pilgrims, as I said. We're moving between the city of destruction to the celestial city. And you meet people in this story, like Pilgrim, whose late, his name quickly becomes Christian. And you meet his wife and his children, who aren't very helpful. She's a bit of a nag. Sorry, ladies. Some husbands are nags too, by the way. You meet Evangelist, who is most helpful. You meet the neighbors, and then two neighbors especially, named Obstinate and Pliable. And then, of course, you meet someone by the name of Help. You learn about places like the city of destruction, and the book in his hand, and the burden on his back, and the light, and the gate, and the path, and the slough of despond. Now, if this turns out well, and I've never preached this before or tried this before, you will be impacted. And if it turns out bad, you'll have a nice nap. What is the story then? It begins on page one, and it begins this way, and I'll read a snippet. As I walked through the wilderness of this world, I came upon a certain place where there was a den, and I lay down in that place to sleep. And as I slept, I dreamed a dream. I dreamed, and behold, I saw a man clothed with rags, standing with his face away from his own house, a book in his hand and a great burden upon his back. I looked and saw him open the book and read from within. As he read, he wept and trembled, and not being able to contain himself any longer, he broke out with a lamentable cry, saying, "What shall I do?" Now, I wonder how many of you have ever been on your knees or walking or whatever position saying you don't even know how to pray, but you can get out of your lips, "Lord, what do I do? What do I do?" Whether it's a relationship with your kids or your spouse or your parents or your brothers or whoever or whatever situation. Have you ever been there? When you just say, what do I do? You can't even get anything else out because you don't know. And that's the place this man found himself in. But he was asking, as he read scripture, he began to read the Bible. That was the book. And the book said, "You are a sinner." And the more he read, the worse he felt. So he read more and he felt worse, and he didn't know what to do. As it says in Isaiah 64:6, "We've all become like one who's unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away." Well, Pilgrim decides that what he should do is share his pain with his wife and children. "You know, what's wrong?" I'm sure they said. And so he tells them, and his wife and children say, "You know, you're losing your mind. Maybe you should go take a nap." Well, you can't sleep. In Habakkuk 1, it says, "O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear, or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise." His wife doesn't help him. And oftentimes in our life, those who are closest in relationship to us, they can't help us when we're suffering. And when we say, "What do I do about the sin in my life?" sometimes a husband or a wife or a mother or a brother or a sister can help you. But at the end of the day, they can't. And oftentimes they make it worse. Well, the story goes on that Pilgrim is wandering in the field with the book in his hand, and he meets someone named Evangelist. And of course, an evangelist is one who tells him the good news. And as we read in Acts chapter 16, verse 30, it says, "Then he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household.'" And in Hebrews 9:27, it says, it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes the judgment. Pilgrim hears this in the story, and he begins to run towards the light. Immediately, he is now called Christian because it's dawned on him what to do. And his wife and his neighbors and everybody says, whoa, what are you doing? Stop, you knucklehead. You don't need to do that. And he stuffs his fingers in his ears and runs. And he says, truth, only the truth can save me. Now, I've asked this question before, but I'll ask it again. How many of you listen or watch the news this week? Would you raise your hand? You can confess. We'll forgive you. All right, some of you. Huh? Podcasts count, by the way. That's the new news source. Okay, how many of you believe every word that you heard? Ah, that's good. I hate preaching to idiots. Okay, now I'm going to get you. This is the zinger. How many of you believe that the Bible is true? Great. How many of you spent more time reading the Bible than listening to the news? There are a few, and that is exactly where we need to go. Why? Truth. And when the news comes on, half the time, what do we have to do? La. I mean, how can it all be true? I have to admit, I'm kind of a glutton for punishment. I like to watch the news and flip back and forth. But at the end of the day, the only truth that will set us free is not what comes from the news. It's what comes from the good news. And that's what Pilgrim heard, and so he ran. And as he runs, two of his neighbors, I mean, most of them just say, that guy's nuts, let him go. Two of his neighbors chase him down, and one of them is obstinate, and one of them is pliable. Now, these are good old names, aren't they? Now, all of us know some people who are obstinate and some others who are pliable. And Genesis 19:17, which is our focus verse today, and we already read it. And as they brought them out, one said, escape for your life. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the hills, lest you be swept away. And old Christian now, he is running and argument and pliable are with him. And they're saying, slow down. And he's saying, no, I'm running for my life. And finally, they catch up to him, and they're talking as they go. And the question becomes, are you going to go or are you going to stay? Because he's going on. In fact, he turns it on him and says, you guys need to go with me. Well, in Hebrews 11:16, it says, but as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. He wasn't leaving anything worthwhile behind. He was going on to the celestial city. And so are you, by the way. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Well, obstinate just says, yeah, you're just like all those other guys. Seven of us are all right. You won't listen to us, so you're just going to go. But here, old pliable, he immediately says, well, I'll go along with you. I think it's a good idea. Sounds pretty good to me. And so they go on together, and they talk of what is to come in heaven. I know when I was here 2 weeks ago, I said one of the things that I think we as believers have to do is we have to keep one eye on heaven, because we're all going to die, and the other eye here on earth. I mean, we have to live here, and we need to enjoy it here. And while we're here, I mean, God created this earth, but we also keep one eye on heaven and know that someday we're going to stand before God, and we're going to give an account of everything that we do have done. Now, that's not going to be very fun for some. But on the other hand, those of us who are clothed in the righteousness of Christ are going to be like that guy on the cross that got to go, and we're just going to say, I don't know why I'm here, because he said I could come. Well, Christian and pliable go on, and as it says in 2 Timothy 4:8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And they go on together, but suddenly they slip into what is called the slough of despond. When they slip into the slough of despond, Pliable abandons his journey. He says, man, if it's this bad at the beginning, it's going to be terrible at the end. I'm out of here. And he goes back. And Christian begins to sink down. And he can't get out by himself. And that's what happens in our own life. You know, nobody ever said this Christian life was easy. I don't think anything worthwhile is easy. The Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl. Some of you were happy. Some of you were sad. I was ready for a change. And nice to see. Yeah, good game. You know, I enjoyed that. Sorry. Most of you here are probably Vikings fans. You know, you were just lucky that the Eagles weren't playing the Vikings, because that would have been, you know. So, yeah, it was fun to watch because my team wasn't there. But you know how hard they worked to get there? That's what made it worthwhile. Well, how hard do you work at your Christian life? I mean, I ask myself, and I'm telling you, I always preach to myself. What am I doing with my time? Where am I putting out my effort? I mean, I suppose if I spent as much time reading the Bible as I did eating, I'd be fat spiritually and skinny physically. I don't know. But we put an effort, and so Christian, he just fights on. I'm not giving up. Even though he's discouraged by his own sinful life, and that's what happens in our own life. We work our, it's like, man, I said I wasn't going to do that again, and here I am, right back in the same old slop. And all of a sudden in the story, it goes like this. I then saw in my dream that a man came to him whose name was Help and asked him, what are you doing here? He said, I was instructed to go this way, but I fell into this slough of despond. Why didn't you look for the steps? Fear followed me so hard I fled the next way and fell in. Well, he said, give me your hand. And Help reaches out and drew him out. In Psalm 40, verse 2, it says, he drew me out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. You know, Help came along, didn't it? And it helped him out. And all of us need help, you and I. And then Christian was able to go along his way with Help at his side and in his life. Genesis chapter 19, is 12 to 22, tells the story of a man in the Bible, just like Pilgrim, only his name was Lot. Now, Lot wasn't much of a guy, was he? Look where he lived. Look at the people he hung out with. Go look in the mirror. I do. In verse 12, the angels do inventory, and they say, now, who we got here? Lot, and we got Lot and Mrs. Lot. And, we got children, daughters and sons-in-law, and everybody in your sin, everybody in your sin city here is, you know, God wants everybody out that wants out. In verse 13, and it goes on, and they tell him, now, the Lord has sent us to destroy this city. And Lot goes to his sons-in-law and tries to encourage them, but obviously he didn't have much of a testimony with them because they thought it was just a big joke. And then the angels tell him, now get up, it's time to go. And there is a phrase in verse 16 that I know I've read this story 100 times that I never saw before. And it is this. It says, they brought him out, we must get you out because, and here's the quote, the compassion of the Lord was upon him. You realize the compassion of the Lord is on you? That's why you're here this morning. It's in verse 16. It's literally, the compassion of the Lord was upon him. Did Lot ask for the compassion of the Lord? No. Did you ask for the compassion of the Lord? No. He chose you. And his compassion is on you. Now that ought to thrill you. Because it is. In verse 17, then, we read, escape, run for your life, Lot, because I'm going to destroy this city. Well, what about you? I want to tell you that you too should run for your life. You read through scripture, and again and again and again, you see the men and the women who did great things for God and who lived a beautiful life and were greatly blessed. There was a time when they ran from evil, when they ran from lies, when they ran from the world. That's the whole story of Pilgrim's Progress. We run from something to something. In Shakespeare's play, there's a phrase in one of the, and I think it's in Hamlet, but I'm no expert, but I remember this one phrase from high school when they forced me to listen to that. From whence thou comest and whither thou goest, fairest Banquo. Never figured out who Banquo was, but I did figure out all of us are going from somewhere to somewhere. And the angels here to Lot said, get out, the end is near. Escape, go, run. Well, what about you? Would you run? Now some of you say, excuse me, my running days are over. Well, I put in here, you know, you can waddle, limp, crawl, roll, but we have to go. We have to be moving in the right direction. And I am talking spiritually, but just like Pilgrim's Progress tells a story because we're too dumb to get it, it tells us a story about that path of righteousness as we walk and come to the cross and our sins are forgiven. And then it really gets tough because the enemy attacks. But my friends, it doesn't matter how you do it, but you must turn from destruction and to the cross. And verses 18 to 22 is just a lot wasting time and negotiation and blah, blah, blah. Too much talk, not enough action. That's me most of the time when I'm talking about my spiritual life. But we're walking. So I'll close with some statements and some questions. The first one that I learned as I studied this passage and studying this story is that suffering in life produces great acts of courage for the Lord. Now, John Bunyan was 12 years in jail. Probably, and only probably, most of you haven't spent time in a physical jail. But some of us have spent time in a spiritual jail or a sinful jail. What has it produced in you? Because if it produced a movement towards righteousness, it wasn't wasted. Number two, suffering with a tremendous burden made Christian run towards salvation. The more he read the book, the Bible, the more he understood his sin, the more he sought salvation. His neighbors laughed, his wife nagged, his friend obstinate argued, Pliable abandoned him. Are you running? And what are you running toward? Number three, suffering ends when help comes from God for you. That's when your suffering ends. But help, of course, and God says, give me your hand. God says, give me your hand. Will you take his hand? Some of you know that old song, put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the waters. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea. That is exactly what we're talking about when we understand who we are and what our life is like. Help came for Christian. Help came for Lot and his family. And help, the Lord Jesus Christ came for you. Will you take the hand of Jesus and let him lift you out of the slough and the slop that you're living in? I hope you will. Which of these characters are you today? Are you obstinate? Are you the naysayer? Are you pliable, the one that abandons halfway through? Or are you like Pilgrim and you're saying, I'm going to go. Now I'm going to go. Now don't forget where you're going. And don't forget why you're going. Because, my friends, it's easy to do. The story is told of three little old ladies who had gotten together, and they were talking about the fact that they were struggling a little bit to remember things. And the first lady says, you know, I go to the refrigerator, and I'm looking in the refrigerator, and I can't remember what I came to look for. And the other lady says, oh, you know, she says, I get up and I go to my room to get something, and I can't remember what I'm going there to get. And the third lady said, oh, you know, she said, I'm so grateful. Up until now, I have no trouble remembering. Knock on wood. Oh, excuse me, someone's at the door. Now, we have to remember. We have to remember who we are, sinners. And we have to remember who he is, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And he's calling us to the celestial city. My friends, we're all going up or down, and there really is not any middle stair. You can't sit there. You're either going up or you're going down. Come on. Let's go on to the celestial city, because our Savior is waiting there for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love, for your care, for the fact that your compassion was upon us, for the fact that you sought us and called us, and we, like good old Pilgrim in the story, began to run towards the light. But Lord, you helped us, you guided us, you taught us. Now, Lord, lead us all the way home and help us not to sit halfway up, Lord, but to follow you all the way. And we thank you. We praise you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Thank you, Dan. Very thought-provoking. Godspeed to you as you travel today. We do have a number of announcements. We're saddened to learn of the passing of Becky Berg Friday. And when one of our members of Harbor grieves, we all grieve with you. So please stay tuned for funeral details. And there are a number of items in your bulletin for your reference, particularly the Woman's Luncheon coming up February 26th. Please be sure to sign up in the fellowship hall if you're planning to attend. And Ash Wednesday is quickly approaching, so please see the full Lenten schedule, including a Cedar Passover meal Thursday, April 3rd. We want you to sign up to attend and to help serve at the big window outside Amy's office. And I glanced at the clock the other day in my kitchen. I was getting supper ready, and it was 5:30 p.m., and it was still light out. So I'm so glad that the days are getting longer, and daylight savings time, which is a sure sign of spring, begins Sunday, March 9th. So it's not far away. Yay! And that means what follows closely behind is the Taco House reopens. Yay! Okay, let's pray. Father God, we praise you. We thank you that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. But unlike you, we are all sinners here. No one is holier than the other. And like Lot, we are sometimes obstinate and disobedient. We dismiss your warnings, thinking we know a better way to go. It's no joke. Yet no one is invisible to you. You never close your eyes. Thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus, Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel. Thank you for seeing us, for loving us, and changing our circumstances as you see fit.
Do not sin that we might become his righteousness.
Our responsive reading this morning is from Psalm 1. If you'd like to join me in the bold print, we'll let them get settled first. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the winter. We have sinners, and sit in the seats of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the wicked of the wicked will perish.
The song we're going to sing, I'm not going to sing, the song they're going to sing is no other song but Jesus. And this is our plea that we have no other song but Jesus. Thank you, Tom, for stepping up to the plate and filling a void. He gets to sing baritone, and for a long time, Denny wanted to sing bass. Now he gets to sing bass.
Save the aid of God.
Thank you, gentlemen. That was a delight. Thank you. You know, each one of us in this church has our own God-given gifts, and when we use it to God's glory, it truly pleases Him. It truly praises Him. So thank you. Whether you play or sing or pray, thank you. Join me in the Lord's Prayer, please. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And hear the benediction. It's from Psalm 121. These words are 1,000 years old, yet fresh and new. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen.
In Jesus'
Let's go in peace to love and serve the Lord.